Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob.
Bob.
Bob. Maluga, Luga, 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 Luga.
Why don't I just call you Bob?
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 23, 2023. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 764 of the Biden-Harris administration, 621 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Instagram, The Bob Seska, Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go, Spoutable, Bob Seska, Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. Did you get all that? Did you write that down? Good, there's going to be a quiz later. Oh, look, sitting right over there is the Goth Ninja. Yep, Jody Hamilton's here. We call her Spicy Jody sometimes. Patreon.com/FromTheBunker. That's where you find her podcast, which is also called From the Bunker. Yeah. David Ferguson, his music project is Astral Summer. By the way, we sometimes call him T-Rex and sometimes call him Spicy T-Rex. I'm in a weird mood tonight.
I'm always Spicy T-Rex.
All right, Goth Ninjas, thank you for joining me today. Lots to talk about. First of all, if you haven't listened yet, run, don't walk, and go listen to my interview with Adam Richman from yesterday. Adam Richman from The Food That Built America on History Channel. He's also the former host of Man vs. Food. Plus, he's also the host of Adam Eats the 80s, and he's the host of The Greatest of All Time. So once you're done listening to this episode, don't stop listening to what you're listening to right now. But once you're done, go and listen to yesterday's interview show. It was so amazing to talk with Adam. He had so much to say, endlessly fascinating. We also talked about his friendship with Anthony Bourdain, and then we also talked about lots of Civil War history, because it turns out he's also a Gettysburg guy. And so I was like, yay, all right. My kind of guest.
Nerd.
Nerd.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Before we get too far into the show, I would like to share a bit of good news.
Okay.
My friend Chris, who we did the funder for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he is responding really well to the radiation, and they don't think they're going to have to do chemo.
Oh, hey.
Yay!
Good news.
So that is really good news. So he may be, you know, get through this round of treatments, and I'm not sure if they're going to do surgery or what, but it looks like they're getting good margins or whatever, or cancer talk.
Congratulations to him, yeah.
So thank you to everyone who contributed so
Absolutely.
Much. That is, you know, you guys are awesome.
Yes, I'm so glad to hear that news.
Yeah,
you know, so much bad news these days. It's always nice to hear about someone who's doing well and everything's okay. So good, good, good. All right, so indictments could drop anytime now. I get the sense that we could be seeing indictments during this show, immediately after this show, maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday.
They'll be as soon as we hit stop on the recording.
That's the way it always is. And so this is obviously regarding Fulton County and Fani Willis and the grand jury there. Clearly, Emily Kors, who is the jury foreperson in the grand jury down there, the special grand jury, she has been doing her damnedest to make sure that indictments don't happen, I guess. I don't know.
How does that, I mean, honestly, see, a Georgia grand jury is different than a criminal grand jury. This is a fact-finding expedition that makes recommendations and does not issue indictments.
Right.
And I do not think that she was restricted under the law from saying anything that she said.
She wasn't. In fact, Georgia law states that they just cannot talk about the deliberations. They can talk about anything else. Like she can't talk about how they came to their conclusions. She can just talk about the conclusions. And she's been very cagey with what the judge released.
Right. I'm not overly concerned about what this will actually mean for indictments, because ultimately this doesn't really have to do with Fani Willis's decision making, and she's the one who decides whether or not to hand down indictments in this case. However, Donald Trump and Donald Trump's minion, the people who may be listed for indictments in this grand jury report, are going to make a big poopy diaper stink about all of this. They already are. Some outside legal experts have said that Ms. Kaur's public comments present a headache, if nothing else, for prosecutors, because the forewoman's discussion of some elements of the case could be seen as diminishing the gravity of the proceedings. Others expressed doubt that they would have much impact, if any, on the case, in part because special grand juries cannot bring criminal charges. But you got to know that Donald Trump and all of these people, probably Rudy Giuliani, probably John Eastman in there too, they're going to go up against every single motion. They're going to sue for every single little detail that happens along the way. They're going to try
to stall and
delay.
That's all they know how to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Is file motions and complain and stall.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I should launch it in like, well, you see, Georgia grand jury is not like a regular grand jury. Just like a Georgia uncle may not necessarily be your mom or daddy's brother. It's someone who's real good friends with your mom and daddy who you've known all your life and he's your uncle, but he's not really your uncle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
It's an investigation, but it's not a prosecution-based organism. It's basically to gather facts and make recommendations to the prosecutor.
Thank you, Cletus. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
We have to have a special Cletus Law and Order song. Gotta make like
that on banjos. Dong, dong.
What does it say? Like a super twangy version of that would be amazing. Someone has to make that for us. The Law and Order sound, but like with a banjo. That's perfect.
Bing, bing.
Yes, I'll be waiting. I'll be standing by. Operators standing by for your submission.
This presumes that I know absolutely anything else about Georgia law. Like, I'm going to have further things to say on this topic.
Yeah, that's right. Like last night I was on Fugelsang's show, as I normally am on Wednesdays, and I must have said three or four times, hey, look, I'm not an expert in Georgia grand juries or anything like that, but here's my opinion anyway.
That's what I'm the Law and Order person on Stephanie's show, unless an actual lawyer is on.
But you're actually good at it. You know what you're talking about, Jody.
Well, I was pre-law at one point, so
yeah.
There was a little, I needed one class and then the LSAT and I could have gotten into law school.
I believe that Donald Trump, he is more stressed out about these things than he ever lets on. And that's what I'm really enjoying observing, especially when it comes to this, which will be the first time I think an ex-president has been indicted for a crime, and a crime related to elections. That's a whole separate matter. But yeah, good luck. Good luck, Donald Trump. And meantime, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner were both subpoenaed by the special counsel overseeing the investigation into Donald Trump's post-election fuckery.
I've watched some of Jared Kushner's testimony from the January 6th committee the other night, and I was just like, how many fucking Xanax did this bozo take? I mean, he's like barely talking.
Yeah,
His face is completely rigid from Botox. And it's just
Far more annoying a voice than Gilbert Gottfried did for Jared Kushner.
But I mean, have you seen it, though? I mean, he's like got vocal fry going on like a teenage girl. Like, he's trying to make his voice sound deeper, and he's like, I don't know what the hell. I'm just like, these people are such fucking freaks.
Well, the question is, does he actually sit? Does Ivanka actually sit for testimony? Do they actually deliver documents here, or do they fight it like Donald does, or do they fight it like Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows do?
I think Donald's going to try to stop it first.
Stop because they were Ivanka and Jared from testifying.
Yeah, because they were, you know, advisors to him in the White House.
Oh yes,
he's going to try to pull that bullshit, the executive privilege crap. But
yeah,
I'm not sure they're going to try. I You know, I think they want to throw Daddy under the bus. I think they want him gone.
Based on McKay Coppins' reporting recently, where a lot of Republicans are like, geez, when is he going to fucking die? When is he going to die? I mean, that's exactly what they're saying. I mean, there's a quote in the McKay Coppins piece. We're just waiting for Trump's mortal demise.
Yes,
that was a very kind way of saying, yeah, we want him to die.
We're waiting for a post-COVID blood clot to fucking end our long national nightmare.
Exactly.
We will never see his bloated scrotum face ever again.
Well, you know, Trump is sticking with Ron DeSanctimonious. He decided, you know what? I'm not going to call him Meatball Ron. I'm not going to call DeSantis Meatball Ron, which is a weird choice and a weird announcement for him to make.
He seldom his friends called him and were like, Donald, you can't be anti-Italian with the slurs. You know, well, Civil War days.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, what if the mob got to Donald Trump? Does the mob even still exist? Is there still a mafia?
It does. Oh, there's several mobs. There's the Russian mob. There's the Italian mob.
But does the Italian mob? I didn't think the Italian mob still existed all the RICO indictments.
There's so much, like, there's such a longstanding connection between Trump and the mob from what, you know. Like,
sure.
Been common knowledge.
So they got.
So I think they got mad. They were like, no more meatball shit. You know, white boy.
That would be amazing if someone from the mafia called Donald Trump and said, hey, you know, that meatball wing is kind of a slur against us Italian Americans.
You're crossing the line here.
Lines are not deep,
but they are clearly marked, you know?
And then Donald goes, well, okay, all right, fine. I'll stick with Ron DeSanctimonious if that's okay with you. I'm like, sure.
That'll be fine.
But yeah, he's going with the weird, long, almost unpronounceable nickname.
Yeah.
Ron DeSanctimonious. Takes up extra characters on Troth Central?
Central.
I always mess that up.
It's never far from your hand, though.
So Trump went to East Palestine yesterday, and it was predictably ridiculous. Shades of Puerto Rico. Throwing MAGA hats at people. Did you see that? He's just chucking his merchandise.
Well, he brought Trump water, which I thought was discontinued in 2010.
Oh, no, he still has it at Mar-a-Lago.
Doesn't water that sits around in the plastic bottles...
Fills with cancer-causing chemicals.
Exactly right. That's what I thought. If it sits around long enough, if it's in a heated kind of... if you leave it in your trunk and it gets hot, it actually... advances that process of the chemicals leaching from the plastic into the water. And these people in East Palestine, in a sense, are just rolling the dice now just by breathing and, you know, bathing in the tap water or whatever they're doing there. And now Donald Trump has made it worse by bringing his contaminated water with him.
Well, I heard that Sylvester Stallone tasted it years ago.
Yeah.
Stephanie played it this morning where he was on like that stupid Billy Bush, the liner entertainment. And so they gave him these waters to taste. And he said, well, what do you think of this last one? He goes, I wouldn't wash my dirty socks in this.
In Trump water?
Uh-huh. And then Billy Bush said, well, it's Trump water. And he goes, oh, God, I'm so sorry. You know, it's like.
Oh, well, not coming back to Celebrity Apprentice 5.
Hey, here's what I think of Trump water. Trump water. I wouldn't
wash my socks or not.
I wouldn't flush my toilet with this water.
Exactly. He was like that. He was like, I wouldn't flush my toilet with that shit, you know.
I wouldn't feed this to victims of a train derailment. Okay, thanks. Thanks for that endorsement. They should put that on the bottle. Sly Stallone says, I wouldn't wash my dirty socks. Yeah, thank you. So he tossed MAGA hats at people, and then he went to McDonald's, and then he told everyone to have a good time. Did you see that clip?
Yeah, I saw that.
Have a good time here in this chemical disaster that you're living in now. Hope it's fun for you. I'm leaving. I'm going back down to my luxurious compound.
Hope your kids don't have gills.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good luck with the cancer clusters.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. President. Bye. And they're cheering for him. I mean, is there any greater example of what's wrong with our country than these people who are victims of government deregulation, which Donald Trump supports and loves and embraces? And there they are cheering for him. Oh, thank you for coming. This is so special, Mr. President. Yay. The fact of the matter is that I'm sure East Palestine went fully for Donald Trump in both 2016 and 2020. Yeah. I would be almost entirely certain of it. And that's its own example right there. These are the victims of Republicanism. The victims of Republicanism, by and large, are their own people. It's like the situation with Fox News and the Dominion case. The fact of the matter is that Fox News isn't lying to Jody Hamilton or David Ferguson or me or Buzz Burbank. Fox News is lying to its own viewers, own people. It's like Donald Trump.
It's the business model.
Yeah.
It's like if we just tell them what they want to hear all the time,
right,
they will stay completely engaged.
Yes.
They will never turn us off,
right,
because they're getting what they would want.
Mm-hmm. It's like the victims of Donald Trump and Trumpism are East Palestine people, people who voted for him, all of those red state people. He's lying to them. He's taking them for the suckers that they are. And he knows it. They just don't know it. And that leads me to believe this is something else that Fugelsang and I were talking about last night. That leaves us with no other conclusion but the reality that Fox News viewers, Donald Trump supporters, and obviously there's a gigantic Venn diagram overlap between those two groups, are suffering from some sort of mass delusion. And I don't say that jokingly. I don't mean that in a silly, like poking fun kind of way. I mean that in a very serious sense. Like upward of 74 million people in this country are in the throes of a mass delusion that they want because
as bad as crystal meth. I mean,
yeah,
it's an addiction. It warps people's lives and drives them away from their family members.
Yeah.
It's completely fucked.
That's so exactly right.
Yep.
And because they want to believe what happens on Fox News Channel, therefore they believe it. Even though they probably, I mean, I don't know to the extent of which they've heard about the news from the Dominion lawsuit and all the text messages, but if they have and they're still like, it's still my channel, I still love it, I still believe all of it.
Right.
Well, that's delusional. It's just like watching a documentary about wrestling and knowing that they plan out some of these. I mean, obviously, there's still... It takes a lot of physical stamina and strength to do it. They're athletes. You really get injured, but the outcomes and who's the heel and who's and so on, that's all planned in advance. That's all written out.
It's choreographed.
And, yeah, exactly. But it would be like thinking, okay, well, I know it's fake, but I'm just going to fuck it. This is my headcanon. I'm going to believe it's real. It'd be fine if that's how they felt about professional wrestling, because ultimately professional wrestling is inconsequential. It'd be weird. It'd be like watching a superhero movie and going, yeah, I'm going to just convince myself that that's real. But even though it's clearly not, it's clearly a fucking superhero. So they watch Fox News Channel and they listen to Tucker Carlson, and Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Fox and Friends, and all the things that happen in between. And they go, I'm on board 100%. Well, you know what, Cletus? It's not real. Well, I don't care. I still believe it's real. I think that's fake news, those text messages that were taken exactly from their phones because they were subpoenaed and they were submitted by the people who sent the text messages in the first place.
That is a deep state, Bob.
I know it's the deep state.
That's the problem is it's a completely self-reinforcing, self-sealing philosophy. It's like that stuff that you can what is it called? It comes in the cans and you can use it to keep rats out of the cellar because it blocks up holes. Like it's that squishy polymer stuff.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It's like a snake eating its own tail. It's like everything outside of our circle is lies.
Well, my question is this, and I think this bears maybe ongoing discussion, and this kind of relates a little bit to Marjorie Taylor Greene and full secession, all this crap she's talking about regarding a national divorce. We cannot continue as a democracy, as a republic, when there are 74 million voting Americans who are suffering from a mass delusion. At some point, we're going to need to figure out, the rest of us, are going to need to figure out how to deprogram these people.
It's like trying to figure out the homeless issue.
Yeah.
It's that complicated.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just...
I think it's going to be a significant barrier to anything making any progress for the next decade. Because these people are so sealed into their bubble and they've been trained like Pavlov's dogs to go completely nuts and, just... roid out whenever anything contradicts their narrative.
And we can't just go to, I think a lot of liberals are going to the easiest thing, which is to say, okay, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you and your friends want to secede from the United States. Bye-bye. Go ahead. No, no, we can't go
but
there.
See, we don't have red states and blue states.
Right.
It's a myth.
They're
it's
all purple.
It's a total myth.
Yep.
Because there are lots of liberals in Atlanta and lots of liberals in Athens and lots of liberals in the town I grew up in Georgia. And we have two Democratic senators, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, where you gonna go, Marjorie?
Yeah.
You
well,
can't stay here. There's too many Mexicans and black people in Georgia for you, bitch. So the, go sand that old cabinet with your face and shut the fuck up.
there is a process for it, and I think it happens in the state legislatures where they vote on it and they secede based on that vote. And I don't know that Georgia even has the votes with a majority Republican General Assembly and a Republican governor. I don't think they could actually do it. But if they did,
the state would completely shut down with that federal money.
Of course it would. And you know what else? Not only would David Ferguson then be part of whatever seceded nation this would become, but also Marjorie Taylor Greene would be out of a job. You cannot be
right,
the U.S.
The
member
Congress.
Of Congress. Yes, because she's a member of the U.S. Congress. And if Georgia separates from the United States, then therefore she would no longer be a representative from Georgia in the United States Congress. She would have to run for election in her new state.
No, she could just get a job on HGTV as a belt sander.
I love it.
I fucking hate her so much, but it's just like, you know, this is all impossible. You cannot secede from the Union. And I mean, it's like, I love the United States so much that it needs to be
Not the United States.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I love my country so much that I don't want it to be a country.
It's literally one of the most unpatriotic things you can push for.
Yes,
I mean, imagine, like, the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. They would be abandoning those two things. I'd wager that abandoning the National Anthem is worse than taking a knee during the National Anthem. And that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to do. Absolutely.
Can you imagine if Bernie Sanders is like, Vermont's going to secede from the United States? And just like how they would be calling for him to be hanged as a traitor. And it just...
Did you see Bernie Sanders walking into that flash mob?
No.
No.
There's a video.
Oh, no, I did
around.
See that. Oh, that poor man. He was so Bernie about it. He was so Bernie about it.
Walks out of the hotel, and there are people doing like a dance out front of the hotel, and he stumbles into it. He's like, what's going on here? I don't understand any of this. And he just has to turn around and go back in. So, such an angry look at his
face. It was so Bernie.
Yes, yes. Somehow he tied that into millionaires and billionaires. I don't know how he did it, but.
And their flash mobs and their frivolous dance and song numbers are bringing this country down. We need equity in show tunes.
Well, just going back to secession real quick, I really have to take issue with some liberals who keep saying, yes, please go and make your own country. Because I can't emphasize enough how inextricably tied union is to democracy. If we say that nations cannot survive intact under democracy, then no nation will want to form as a democracy if they see that, okay, well, not only did it precipitate a civil war in 1861 in the United States, but then there's another one in 2023. Parts of the nation are breaking off. Well, this is an untenable way to set up a nation. So why even bother to do that? And if you're supporting that concept, what you're saying is, democracy is inherently flawed and will eventually lead to the balkanization of wherever it's implemented. And that's a place we cannot go. That was one of the things that drove Lincoln to so vigorously fight the Civil War, because he knew the ideas that would throw off, the despotism that would give rise to in the future. And so he knew, if I don't pull out all the stops here and the United States ends up splitting, dissolving forever, this is going to be such bad news, not only for the United States, but fledgling democracies deep, deep, deep into the future. I mean, everything could have changed. The course of global history, human civilization would have changed. Yeah. For example, if George McClellan had won in 1864, that would have been the end, because he would have negotiated a peace deal with the Confederacy, allowed the Confederates to exist and their nation to exist, maybe set up trade deals with them and so on. There's an amazing, I would say it's a mockumentary, and I think it's called The Confederate States of America. Ooh. And the assumption is that the Confederacy won the Civil War, or maybe there was a peace treaty that allowed the Confederacy to exist. And so what was the history of the Confederacy from the Civil War until modern times?
Oh, I want to see that.
And that's the documentary. It goes hard on the racism aspect of it. So I'm just warning you. Yeah. And it's intended to make a statement about the ridiculousness of the Confederacy and slavery and racism. But it goes hard on those topics.
I'm not surprised. And, you know,
there's been an effort on the right to downplay the racism of the Civil War.
Yes.
They will tell, I mean, it wasn't about slavery. It's about states' rights.
That's
to own
lie.
Slaves, dingus.
To own slaves, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Sean Hannity joined Marjorie Taylor Greene in supporting secession. Though I don't know if he's telling the truth, because obviously Fox
they're
News
not,
must
not, they, no, they're
they,
not.
They
no.
must know that this is a terrible, terrible idea that will never work, but it juices up the fundraising numbers.
Listen to him rationalizing this. He says that the national divorce would result in much smaller federal government. Yes, and guess what? The seceding states would no longer be
part
of
our money.
Yeah, they would no longer be part of that federal government. So regardless of whether it's big or small, you'd have nothing to do with it. So good luck with your own little teeny tiny little governments in your teeny tiny little municipalities, which is eventually what would happen. Once a state secedes, then counties secede from that state, and then municipalities secede from the county, and so on and so on and so on, and everything
falls apart. So where's Hannity going to live?
I don't know.
Because New York is obviously not going to be a red city.
Florida.
Yeah.
Seceded
Orlando.
Florida, I guess. I don't know. States fully control public education, it says here. States could continue using fossil fuels.
That's a great idea.
Suicidal.
How many
nature
bad
of this,
fucking ideas do they have? Like, I mean.
Well, didn't Marjorie also say that, y'all blue folks can move into these red states, but you won't be able to vote?
Yes. She said you can live there and you can work there, but you don't get to bring your values.
Fuck her.
But anyone.
I just think she's projecting. She's like, we need a national divorce. It's like, honey, just because you can't keep a husband. Does not mean
Marjorie
the whole country
Taylor.
Needs to dish it, you know, like.
Well, this is the thing with this. It's, I can no longer make a case for my values. I can no longer figure out how to convince people that I'm right. So fuck it, I'm giving up. I'm flipping over the Monopoly game board and I'm storming off. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene has done. I said in my banter piece this week, secession is like the sweatpants of geopolitics. It's what you do when you've given up. And that's the point in all of this. Secession is inherently quitting.
Yeah.
This is not working. I'm frustrated and annoyed by it not working. So bye-bye. I'm leaving. I'm walking away. Like a fucking reality show villain. On top of the fact that there were people, many, many Americans, anywhere from 600,000 to a million Americans who died because of secession.
Yeah.
Many of those Americans sacrificing their lives, their own limbs and so on to push back against secession. And what we would be doing if we allowed secession is saying, well, you know what? Screw that sacrifice. It was utterly meaningless because we ended up seceding anyway, or they ended up seceding anyway. Oh, it's so inane. All right. Lots more to talk about here. We've got the most annoying song I think I've ever played on the show.
I love it.
Okay.
I'm talking about James O'Keefe's excruciating oligarchy song.
Oh, James. If only Mr. and Mrs. O'Keefe had let little 12-year-old Jimmy go to theater camp, the world could have been spared so many horrors.
Where's your radar on that, David?
I don't even know anymore. Like, I mean, we'll talk about this in this segment.
Okay, yeah, good. I want to hear all about it because, yes, this song, I will say right now, if there's any reason for me to punish people, I found the thing that I can use to punish them with, and is this oligarchy song. Yeah.
And the beatings will continue
until
morale improves.
Meantime, a Republican congressman from Wasilla, Alaska. For some reason, they're really
Ooh,
crazy
Wasilla?
Up there.
Wasilla?
Yeah. Wow. He thinks it's okay if abused children die.
I heard that today. We'll that was shocking. That.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they take up less money in the social services.
Yeah. Plus, Alex Jones and Satanism. Alex Jones went off about how if you want to get a TV show, you're going to have to pledge your allegiance to Satan. And this is a fact.
Do you sign the deal with Satan in Satan's presence? Is he like meet you for lunch?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. He lives here in Los Angeles. Yeah. And he hangs out at the Sunset Strip. And that's what you do. You're at the Roxy one night and you just sign a thing. You know, it's a thing. It's a total
he's
thing.
He's at the Roxy.
booth.
I'm here to see Hoobastank. Yeah, for some reason Satan's a big fan of Hoobastank. I'm not sure why. Yeah.
Of course he is.
Okay, if you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts, etc., you're only hearing the first hour. There's an extra 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday show, and it's all happening on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show or simply BobSeskaShow.com. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Dockets drop every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, $5 per month. That's it. Plus, you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast, so don't miss out. BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska! All-time favorites all day long!
When it all aligns, we'll born again. Under the moon, under
I don't want to interrupt it, but we got to continue the show. This is the great King Cyborg. Yes. Another single called Under the Moon. God, I love this stuff. Hey, and you know what? Guess who's going to be my guest on next Wednesday's interview show?
Whee!
The great King Cyborg will be here.
Nice.
I can't wait. She has an incredible story.
So fancy. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Starts in Africa and she ends up in San Francisco. Lots of harrowing details in between. I can't wait to talk to King Cyborg on next Wednesday's show. Meantime, you got to check out my conversation with Adam Richman. I know I talked about it at the top of the show. Here's one of the reasons you should check it out, because at some point during the show, I ran over my toe with my office chair. One of the wheels just, yeah. And it hurt. I didn't break my toe or anything like that. I can walk around. It doesn't hurt when I walk around. I drew blood. That was part of the problem. So it's one of those things where, it hurts because it hurts like a paper cut would hurt or a really bad scrape. You know what I mean? It's like that sort of pain, just stinging. And at some point in the show, that's when it happened. So see if you can figure out where in my interview with Adam Richman that I ran over my toe. But also make sure to listen to it for Adam Richman, because he's fucking awesome. Okay, where did we leave off with all of this? Oh, yeah, by the way, bobsuska.com/music to submit your work to the show. If you've got music that you want me to hear, send it there, okay? Meantime, let's see. We talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene. We talked about secession. Harry Lipman, meantime, says Fox News might be liable in the Dominion case. I've been wondering, like, how's this going to play out with the free press clause of the First Amendment? Even though Fox News isn't really press, they're very clearly lying. And I think that's ultimately Harry Lipman's thesis on this, is that because of New York versus Sullivan, you have to show that whatever publication or network it is, you have to show that it acted with malice, that it knew that whatever false information it was presenting was indeed false, and they did it anyway. But with Fox News, we know that they knew. These text messages
argued in court before that this is not news. No one in their right mind would believe it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, I have some personal knowledge about libel lawsuits.
Yes.
This is a slander suit, by the way, because it's vocal.
Right.
But my mom successfully sued the National Enquirer. And mm-hmm. if you're in law school, you have to study that because it was precedent setting.
Yeah.
And it was based on the New York v. Sullivan case because my mom was a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to prove, A, that they knew they were lying.
Yeah.
And that's the big one. And then there was malice. And it took the article came out in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
It took her 7 years to get it to court.
Wow.
Because she refused it. They kept trying to settle. And she's like, no, I'm not settling.
Yeah.
She sued for $10 million. She was awarded two. And eventually she got $200,000 mm-hmm. after appeals. And their argument was they were a magazine, which is like a really bad argument because you have more time to check
mm-hmm. sources yeah.
if you're a magazine versus a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but she was livid and she won because yeah. she proved, and she didn't have the plethora of text messages and emails and people right. going, yeah, we know they're full of shit.
So she was able to blast right through New York versus Sullivan. I mean, she was able
to rise
to that.
She did, because basically
yeah.
what they reported was that my father and my mom, and I don't know if they were with anybody else, I don't recall, because uh-huh. I was only seven. they were in D.C. having dinner at a restaurant called the Rive Gauche.
Yeah.
And also in the restaurant was Henry Kissinger.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of other people.
Okay.
And so somebody from the Enquirer called the maitre d' and said, who's dining there tonight that's famous?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently my mom and Mr. Kissinger were the only people that were famous, I guess, for National Enquirer audiences. I assume a lot of other Washington elite were there as well.
Yeah.
And so the guy said, okay, Henry Kissinger and Carol Burnett are eating dinner at the Rive Gauche. What can I write about that? So what he wrote was that my mom got drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Walked around and ate off of other people's plates and threw wine in Henry Kissinger's face.
Well, I would be okay with that last one.
Well, I would too, but
it didn't happen.
At the time, it did yeah. not happen. Yeah. And Mr. Kissinger was actually deposed for the case.
Amazing.
And so that was, I think it was, I don't think he was a witness in the trial, but it was definitely, his deposition was read into the, record
yeah.
As well as the maitre d' and everybody else that they could find to be deposed, because she was like, no, if you can find video of her, because it was taped, the trial was 1981 was when the trial happened, and mm-hmm. we were living in Hawaii at the time, and she goes, my children would read that, and it's not me. And I mean, her anger on the stand is palpable.
Wow.
And so when when Dominion should they go to trial and not get a summary judgment, which I think they should get.
Yeah.
Should they go to trial? I can imagine that their CEO and anybody else is going to be very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck with Carol Burnett.
Yeah, yeah.
Also that.
Yeah.
She'll wait years to bring your shit to court if she will show up in a fabulous red dress on the day. Because I remember that day. I remember the National Enquirer was kind of part of the cultural firmament.
It was.
At that point. Like, if you had a grandma, she read the National Enquirer.
Oh, absolutely.
And like,
I mean, Burt Reynolds used to joke. He goes, the amount of times that I've settled with them, I've bought more homes because they kept lying about him and they'd settle and he'd make money. Yeah. But nobody ever wanted to go to trial because it's a high bar and it should stay that way. High Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It should stay that way. Don't lower it. Because it's important that famous people have a higher bar to come over.
Yeah.
And the Inquirer since that has not been as lie about people.
Well, I mean, I think what Dominion has done here is, even if it loses, even if there's some sort of nominal settlement in all of this, it's provided an immense public service, which is these text messages. And that says everything we need to know. And really emphasizes what we were talking about in the previous segment, which is this mass delusion that so many people are caught in. And again, what do we do with that? How do we bring those people back? Or do we ever? Yeah. Do we just write off 74 million people in this country?
I think we can bring some of them, but not all of them back.
Yeah, yeah. There's got to be a way. I mean, we're the smart people, aren't we? We've got all the great writers and comedians and thinkers and so on. We should be able to figure out a way to bring these people, to deprogram them.
Well, some have been already.
Tim Pool.
Yeah.
some have been deprogrammed. I mean, if you look at the Donald's especially.
Yeah.
Hold anymore, partly because Fox wants to get away from him, but his shine is not as it's dulling.
Yeah.
And I think that Fox News is going to get, I think they're fucked. I mean, you know, the fact that Tucker Carlson got away with a lawsuit saying, you can't believe a word coming out of my mouth. I mean, this is starting to pile up for people eventually, not all of them, unfortunately, but eventually I think a good amount of them we'll finally go, wait, what the fuck am I doing?
And you know what else I wanted to add to all of this is those videos by the Good Liars. And I think Jordan Klepper, too, does a really great job with those things. Here's what's so great about those videos. Not only are they entertaining to watch, but they also, I think, implant ideas or at the very most doubt in the heads of the people who they're interviewing. And so in that regard, maybe these are like little computer viruses that are being planted into the heads of the people being interviewed. But a computer virus in a good way, insofar as it implants an idea in their head that maybe will sprout some sort of deprogramming. Like I always go to the example of when I was in, I was a Republican in my senior year of high school, and I'm not proud of it. But I did start.
Sean Barton was too.
I started the Young Republicans Club in my high school and all that shit. But I was having a conversation with one of my Democratic friends, this guy, Carl Kugler, who said to me, Bob, if your girlfriend got pregnant, what would you do? And I said, just snapping right to my first reaction, which was, well, I would leave that up to her to decide. And then I realized, oh, shit, I'm pro-choice. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? I didn't even know it. And my first reaction, of course, I was honest enough with myself that I recognized what I was saying. And I said, okay, I guess I'm pro-choice. So, and that changed my entire worldview. That kicked off a process of transitioning over to liberalism that lasted for maybe a year or so. It wasn't an overnight transition. Right. It was one that took some time because, you know, you're replacing your values with different values in a sense and learning those new values based upon that one seed that was planted. And not only has that story kind of fueled my motivation for doing what I do, because I'm always looking for that one thing that maybe will turn someone around, that one argument, that one question, that one magic thing, that magic bean that then sprouts an entire bean stalk. I'm getting really deep into the weird metaphors now, but you know what I mean. And so
I kind of have a feeling they're so emotionally invested in it now,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
That, yeah, they are. I mean, it just that everything that happens, everything that comes up gets thrown into this 180, you know, what's the word? Binary.
Yeah.
Of like, is it red or is it blue? And I just, and I don't know, I mean, I guess I sort of understand that sense that the world is changing and that things are out of your control, but it just, I don't understand this, like, unquestioning fury that they seem to feel anytime anything changes at all. Like, it just seems to be like, you know, a normal person would hear that there's going to be a black Little Mermaid and be like, well, that's cool. Some little black girls right. can see themselves reflected in the yes. art that they, you know, instead of being like, God damn it, don't touch my mermaids. Like, it's like, what, dude? They're imaginary. Like, yeah. they can be purple if they want. Like, I just... yeah, I don't understand this constant rage, like kill the liberals for making me not say faggot.
Right.
Right.
Well, an authority figure on television or on a podcast or on a website is saying this is real. We should all be outraged about the casting for the Little Mermaid movie. And so everyone goes, well, that authority figure said that we should be outraged about it. So I guess we should. And that's, I think, where it starts. You take a position of authority and you abuse it, you exploit it in order to enrich yourself, in order to generate ratings, in order to generate revenue for whatever platform you're using. Mm-hmm. And the way it's accepted is based on the reality that it's coming from that authority figure. Like, okay, that guy's got a microphone in front of him. That guy's got a video camera and a staff, and he's making millions of dollars saying what he's saying. So therefore, who am I to question his reputation and his veracity?
I understand why he's mad at Legos.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Fucking Potato Head.
I know.
Yeah.
And then you get to people like James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, which is basically more like Fox News than we ever knew.
Yep.
Fox News Channel, big lie, big televised fraud is what Fox News is from bumper to bumper 24/7. Gigantic fraud. Same with James O'Keefe and those Project Veritas videos. This brings us to what James O'Keefe really wants to do with his life. He wants to be like a song and dance man, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, please, I can't wait for this. Oh, my God.
Yeah, sorry. My lunch was just...
Sorry, David. It's about to get worse. If you have like a paper bag nearby or a bucket, maybe a bucket will be helpful in this case. I landed on this thanks to Right Wing Watch. They posted this music video that James O'Keefe made for a song that I assume he created, and I assume it's called Oligarchy.
Yeah.
And the video looks like the Grease Lightning dance routine in Grease, kind of. Except it's got like James O'Keefe bashing televisions with a sledgehammer. But he's dressed all in black. He's got the black sunglasses, and he's doing like a choreographed dance.
It says press on it, which... Okay.
Which is a huge, huge lie in and of itself. James O'Keefe is closer to...
You also got
to
mention this is a complete... Like, this is just a karaoke version of Prince's Controversy. That they, like, rewrote the lyrics for. Which,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've got a dozen of those myself. There's, like, the Hotel Athens, Georgia. You can check out anytime you want. You can mm-hmm. never leave. Hmm. You know, totally shit when I fart.
Well,
so, I mean, yeah. This is the level of creativity we're talking about here.
Right, right. Well, let's put it this way. In a general sense, James O'Keefe is closer to Jackass than he is an actual journalist, which
yes.
is the fucking truth of it all. Here's, without any further ado, here's this song that James O'Keefe played. We're going to get through as much of it as we can, which is probably not going to be that much. So here's the Oligarchy. This is it.
Oligarchy.
Oh my God.
Do I have faith in truth?
James O'Keefe is suing Twitter for defamation.
Project Veritas taken down because they confronted a Facebook executive.
Take a video like that down, that would be
due to. He put news clips in there.
I can show you a video of CNN doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. So annoying.
Factual statements about our client that are false.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay, that's enough. That's way
Prince
more
is rolling over in his grave.
Yes,
I think I just got corns on my feet for the first time. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I dubbed that down to play on the show, and then I went into the kitchen to grab a cup of coffee, and Kimberly was in there, and I was like, I just listened to this James O'Keefe song, and I keep thinking in my head, oligarchy, and then I started thinking, cup of coffee, and I was just like, oh, fuck, I'm up.
See, you're now qualified for the board of Project Veritas.
That's how it happens. You get worms into your brain, and then suddenly you're singing like the By Menon jingle in that.
By Menon.
Yes. And I'm going, I'm making up new lyrics to James O'Keefe's excruciating pop song.
But so let's talk about some of the revelations, though. I mean, because we found out that Project Veritas spent, what, $20,000 on a production of Oklahoma.
Yes.
So that James could play Corky. Now, how this forwards the right-wing agenda, I'm not super sure. Do you guys know how that ties back to the overall project mission of...
I don't know. I have no idea. It's, you know what it is? It's masturbatory is what it is. We've got the money to be able to do this, and this is something I want to do, so I don't care whether or not this has any application whatsoever to the thing that people donated money to us for. And so it doesn't make any sense.
Come on, donors, people, listeners, Patreon people, send us $20,000 so that we can recast Ghostbusters with me and Jody and Bob. And, I mean, please.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of journal, I mean, what kind of citizens are you if you won't support this kind of journalism?
Did they actually shoot it like a movie, or is it?
I don't know. I need more information. I need to know if they like got an event space or whatever, or like went to one of the big repertory theaters in DC, or if it was New York. I mean, who actually came to see this who wasn't related to someone in the cast?
Yeah, yeah.
And how many poor, hapless Project Veritas staffers had to be roped into this? Like, you're playing Shirley in Oklahoma, whether you like it or not. You want to continue to work in this business, you're going to put on those overalls and you're going to fucking make it sparkle. Like, like, I just, it's like, just, I.
Yeah, I know. That was an amazing end to that rant. There's just like,
fucking James O'Keefe, it's like all this time you've just been like a bitter theater kid.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, the liberals wouldn't cast you in Oklahoma. So this whole thing has been an elaborate form of revenge against your high school theater teacher. Like, what's...
Well,
just, I mean, $20,000 for a community theater production. James, do us all a favor. Just go suck the dick. Okay?
Wow.
Save yourself the money, you fucking closet case, and just like...
Goodness gracious, Spicy David.
I'm 4 stars on the spicy meter today. I'm just like, this piece of shit, like, took down a federal housing agency that was dedicated to getting low-income people into stable housing.
Uh-huh.
And just did it for a lark.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
well, that's... Like, I mean, I blame... You know who I blame in all that is maybe not necessarily James O'Keefe, although he was an integral part, but it's the Republicans in Congress who legislated based on his obvious prank videos.
Yeah. Yes.
His obviously selectively edited videos. By the way, he was short on money for his production of Oklahoma. I think he wasn't quite at the $20,000, and so there's another tape of James O'Keefe going to some of his contributors and asking for additional cash.
What I need is $100,000.
Yeah. Corky! Oh, brother!
he's not kidding.
Corky, our entire budget for the entire year is $15,000 for everything, and that includes swimming.
Swimming.
Well, I don't have any swimming in my ship.
No, I mean the pool.
What's wrong with you?
So what I'm understanding here, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're not giving me any money. So now I'm left basically with nothing. I'm left with zero, which what can I do with zero? You know, what can I can't do anything with it. I need to, this is my life here we're talking about. We're not just talking about, you know, something else. We're talking about my life, you know, and it's forcing me to do something I don't want to do, to leave. To go out and just leave and go home and say, make a clean cut here and say, no way, Corky, you're not putting up with these people. And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people. Because you're bastard people. That's what you are. You're just bastard people. And I'm going home and I'm gonna bite my pillow is what I'm gonna do.
Poor James O'Keefe couldn't get the $100,000. But at least there's swimming. At least there's...
Yeah.
Swimming in Blaine.
Apparently, like, I mean, we have another, you know, another object lesson here that, like, terrible people make terrible bosses. Because apparently, like, his management style was basically that of a six-year-old. Like, tantrums and watching porn on his desk computer at work. I mean, just it's as bad as Alex Jones would be as a boss, like swigging vodka from Dixie cups all day.
Which is true. That is absolutely a true story. Yeah. Okay.
Texting his mistress, I need a sucky. Like,
Alex Jones says anyone who's offered a TV deal is asked to pledge themselves to Satan. And it's absolutely true. He says
yes,
it's true,
it
so therefore it must be true.
I live here. It's true. It's true. It's, we live here. It's true.
10
okay, but
million
is that like the networks?
Listeners.
Is that like streaming services too?
I don't know.
All of it.
Or it doesn't
like
matter.
Netflix, you make a deal with a lesser demon like Beelzebub or something. Like he's a subsidiary of Big Satan Inc.
Exactly right. Well, we're going to play that tape here and a little bit more show coming up right after these words.
Bob Seska plays more music.
This is a brand new single from Antiquity. This is a song called The Sound of Dirt Upon the Lid. Yeah. This is the second track we played from Antiquity, and I love it, I love it, I love it. Bob Seska, BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. Okay.
I mean this in a loving way, but it kind of reminds me of that guy that was singing in the Depeche Mode song in the voice of David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
Words like silence, break, the, you know. Like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It does sound Bowie-ish, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
I noticed that last time we played, and that's absolutely a compliment. That's a good thing. Okay, meantime, Congressman Eastman from Wasilla, Alaska, Republican, obviously, says it's okay if abused children die.
Yeah.
Here's the quote from the Republicans who are all about the children. I mean, they may lose national elections between now and infinity because they were so driven to save the fetuses. But now they're saying
this. Once they emerge, they're on their fucking own.
That's right. Life begins at conception and ends at birth.
What, do you want the titty kid? You think you're entitled?
I actually just, it's conception, but because they don't give a rat's ass about prenatal care.
Okay, right, right.
it starts with conception and then ends in implantation in the uterus. That's
exactly
where it ends.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He said, it can be argued periodically that it's actually a cost savings because that abused child is not going to need any of those government services that they might otherwise be entitled to receive and need based on growing up in this type of environment.
That guy is a fucking c**t and he can fucking go c**t himself to the c**t. I would not punch him. I just fucking
hate him. I also just like, love how he...
There it is.
I love how he assumes that like only poor children are abused.
Yeah.
That kids that, you know, obviously if they're... I mean, like no one ever like abuses a rich kid. Like,
well, it's so
well, maybe he does include PPP loans in those future government services the kids won't need.
Well, you know what would be a cost savings? Is to stop cutting taxes for rich people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe try that instead of saying, hey, you abused children, hurry up and be abused to death so you're not sucking up resources that should go to rich people like me. That's right.
But the hell is
so
this train
insane
of thought? I mean, it just, ooh, we could save some money if kids die. Like, I mean, and then he felt the need to just share it into a microphone. It's
he repeated it.
Yes, but anyone who has a television show, they're the Satanists. They're the devil worshipers, right?
Yep. Oh, do we have that audio?
Yes. Here's Al. You want to hear Alex Jones talking about?
I
yeah, because he's got evidence. He's got the documents. Yeah.
I've been a Christian since I was young, born again when I was younger, been worldly, had a lot of problems. I'm not perfect. But I got to tell you, it happened to Mark Dice. It happened to me. It happened to a bunch of other people I talked to. before you're offered a national TV show, before you're offered a major record deal, they get you in a room and they say, listen, we want you to reject Jesus Christ and pledge yourself to Lucifer.
Okay, there's a couple of lies right there. First of all,
that's hilarious.
That he was either offered a TV show or a record deal. That's the first big lie. Like, who's offering Alex? Hey, you want your own TV show on what? What network is offering Alex Jones his own TV show? And would that network actually give a shit about Satan or whatever? But it doesn't matter because
I'm just seeing those dorks at One America News, like sitting in the room with Big Satan, you know, saying, "Alex, come sit down." You know, and Satan's like, "I guess you're wondering why I called you here today." You know.
Well, here's
we need you to sign a contract. You
know, Satan
apparently
really,
the devil talks like Sebastian Gorka.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. Here's more Alex Jones.
And it was an off-record meeting with me when it happened. It happened twice.
Yeah, it was off the record. You know why it was off the record?
It didn't happen.
It was off the record because it didn't happen. You know, if it was something that was on the record, then you could actually look it up and verify whether or not that actually happened. But since it didn't happen, I got to say it's off the record. So therefore, you can't find any evidence whatsoever because you know why? Because it's off the record. That's the centerpiece of my lie here. Other than the fact that I'm a grown man who's 34 years old. Whatever he is. Younger than
46,
me.
46, I think. He's younger than we are. He's in his 40s, but he's an old 40, whatever.
I got to tell you guys the truth. Bob let me come on as a regular co-host, he said to me, T-Rex, I need you to renounce Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
We all did, right? I thought that was a thing. Yeah. There was a blood ritual, all of us with Buzz. We
otherwise,
together,
the equipment will electrocute you.
Like you didn't want to do it, David, did you? You were like, oh my God, I love Christ.
I've been looking at naked Jesus on a cross my entire life. Like in church, you want me to give up on the holy hip bones and inner thighs of my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
You're like, why is Bob making me renounce the Lord?
Exactly.
Shit.
Have you seen his abs?
He's got a great swimmer's body, you know?
I mean, really. No, I think he actually does CrossFit.
We got super sacrilegious at this point in the show. Maybe we should put a warning in case you're religious.
Yeah, in case you're religious, I'm a recovering Catholic, so I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Me too. High five. All right.
I'm Episcopalian. It never really mattered either way.
Exactly.
We all
stand up in a group to confess together.
We need to punish ourselves for being so sacrilegious. So
I just can't believe all the faces on TV. Ali Kaki.
Oh my God.
And the left to right. Emoji. OP.
Cup of coffee. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Everyone's going to hate me now.
It's malarkey. That should be the Joe Biden version.
Exactly. Oh, my God. You're so right.
Shit, I wish I could do a Biden impression because I would totally do that. That's fucking hilarious. All right.
Mike? Should we as a group, let's group dial Mountain Mike, Rocky Mountain Mike, and be like,
no, I would never
share the blame equally.
Yeah, no, that would be punishing Mike, and he doesn't deserve to be punished. Okay, so real quick, I would talk about cancel culture before we wrap up here. Newsmax did a whole segment about Joy Reid claiming that, and this is just based on the lower third on Newsmax, it says here, Joy Reid claims wokeness equals freedom.
What?
Which is actually kind of true.
It is true, but yeah. I mean, what?
Joy Reid is embracing woke, which makes perfect sense. It's enlightenment. It's inclusion. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. And other than the way the Republicans are framing it, the way they framed liberal. They took that word and turned it into a naughty, naughty word to the point where liberals actually ran away from the word and adopted a different word. And we shouldn't fucking do that again.
Let's talk about who gets canceled, though. Because, I mean, J.K. Rowling is supposedly canceled, but she was just, they had a fucking tongue bath of a profile of her in the New York Times last week.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's not like she's gone.
Well, the people they're saying here who were canceled were included J.K. Rowling.
No,
obviously not. Joe Rogan, Elon Musk, Dave Chappelle, Donald Trump, Kevin Hart and Roseanne Barr are all their examples of celebrities who have been canceled. And according to Jason Campbell on Twitter, he wrote, Joe Rogan hosts one of the biggest podcasts in the world. Fact. He hasn't lost that show. He's still just as powerful as ever. Elon Musk is worth almost $200 billion. J.K. Rowling is one of the best-selling authors in history. Donald Trump was president of the United States and is running again.
So you cancel me. I want $1 million.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, I mean...
Please, Jody, can you cancel me real quick?
I'll try.
Louis C.K. just sold out Madison Square Garden. Cancel culture is bullshit. You know what cancel culture is? It's people exercising their free speech and saying, hey, you know what? I don't like what that person said, so I'm going to tell my friends.
Transphobia is problematic.
Yeah, right. Well, meantime, Tucker Carlson is doing a show called The Death of Comedy. And this is so wrong and so counterfactual, just the very title of it. Comedy is not dying.
No.
And it's certainly not dying because some people are saying, hey, you know what, maybe a good idea to not say that N-word so much. Maybe a good idea to not, you know, joke about rape or to beat up trans people. On stage.
It's like all we're asking is for people to be slightly less of an asshole.
Yeah.
And you would think that we would be like, okay, well, you can stay in America as long as you give us your left nut.
If you're Adam Carolla and you want to tweak people by saying things that are controversial, I've said this so many times, don't be fucking shocked when you actually stir up controversy. Isn't that the point? What do you think controversy is? It's people going, oh my God, I can't believe that guy said that. You know, I got to tell my friends about that guy saying that thing. And that's what you're asking for. I mean,
think about like Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel, who started their career trajectory at the exact same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like it does not appear that Jimmy Kimmel is having any problem. He's got one of the biggest shows in late night television, and he actually got hot at some point, which is confusing and disturbing to me. But you guys had the same opportunities. It's not like you had to, he did some, incredible series of gymnastic feats to get where he is, Adam Carolla. It's just that you were the less talented person in that duo.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, let me get back in my Cletus voice. Let me explain to you this way, buddy.
Jesus. Well, so
every artistic duo's got like a 50 watt bulb and a 100 watt bulb. See, and you were the dim one, okay? So you're you should be glad you're getting money or employment at all, dude, because you're not pretty, you know. I mean,
in this FoxNews.com piece that goes along with the Death of Comedy documentary, it says here, quotes this club owner named Vinnie Brand, who's opposed to so-called cancel culture. He actually made a case for cancel culture. He actually basically defined what it is. He said,
you mean like Tucker Carlson makes the case for abortion?
in this very similar, yes, sure. He said here, as comics, our job is kind of take the rough water and make fun of it. So if we can't do that for you, maybe you shouldn't necessarily go to a comedy club, because here, the comics should be free. Now listen to this. The comics should be free to say what they want to say, and let the marketplace decide whether it's good or bad. That's exactly what cancel culture is, insofar as there is cancel culture. It's the marketplace saying, we don't like that. That's bad. And so
ask James O'Keefe, should the farmer and the cowman be friends? That's exactly what comedians do. And that's what people do with their feet and their votes and their cover charges. They go to a club where they're not making trans jokes.
Yeah.
And
it's just people saying, hey, you know what? I don't like that trans joke. Stop doing that. Or otherwise, I'm not going to come to your show, and I'm going to tell all my friends not to come to your show. That's that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there'll be a case where Roseanne gets booted off her show and her character killed off. But that wasn't necessarily the standard across the board for what cancel culture is. Most of the time, 90% of the time, it's people just going, hey, you know what? I don't like that. Maybe you should stop doing that or saying that, and exercising their free speech. Even though I don't always agree with that pushback, it doesn't matter. it's still free speech, and we should support free speech, right? Isn't that the point of what these comedians are standing up for?
Exactly.
But you don't get free speech.
Like, you want free speech, but you don't want other people to have free speech to respond to your free speech.
Right, right.
Because that's cancel culture.
Yeah, right. And we're talking about free speech in a general sense. We're not talking about constitutional free speech, which is something different, which has to do with the government regulating speech. We're just talking about general discourse. And
I feel like, Roseanne, you had the easiest job in the world. All you had to do was not be racist.
Right, right.
You know, all you had, you like it reinstalled in your old show. Everyone's like, oh, we missed it so much. And you just had to jump on the racism train and just like shoot yourself in the foot. I don't feel sorry for that person. I don't know.
And by the way, she's still making money off of the damn show, even though she's not on it, because it's her baby.
Yes, of course it is. Of course it is.
It's her baby. Perpetuity. She's making bank on the fact that it's still on the air, and good for them for keeping it on the air after the 3 years that they could. They got signed back up after 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had the 2 year agreement, and then they re-upped them after another 2 years. So it's like, you know, Roseanne is happy with this situation. She's making mailbox money hand over foot. It's insane, her mailbox money.
It also is a self-preservation thing, because where was Roseanne and all these people who are speaking out, the anti-cancel culture crowd, these hack comics, where were they when Howard Cosell got fired for calling Alvin Garrett a monkey on Monday Night Football?
Or when
Greaseman said that we should kill 4 more black people so after the Martin Luther King holiday, we can have the rest of the week off. I mean, these were things that people actually said.
You want to talk about someone who got canceled. I mean, literally, they canceled her tour. Like, venues would not host it.
Yes.
They said the security risks were too high. So that was, like, her ability to make money on a daily, just, like, jerked out from under her.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's, I mean, and that didn't happen to Joe Rogan. It didn't happen to fucking Sean Hannity or any of the other, like, whiny Bill Maher's of the world who are just like, I just can't be funny anymore because I can't be misogynist.
Well, you know who else was threatened with being canceled? I was threatened with being canceled.
Yes, and you
know
who threatened
me? I was too, once upon a time.
James O'Keefe threatened to cancel me with a nasty cease and desist letter. They were planning to sue me for something that I tweeted. Devin Nunes, Donald Trump, they're using defamation suits to pursue their own form of cancel culture. And that is the harsh reality in all of this. On top of the fact that idiots like Vinny Brand, who's also a comic, I guess, saying that, yes, comics should be free to say whatever they want, and the marketplace should decide. Well, what do you think the marketplace is?
Is, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's people. It's customers. They're deciding. Other
it's
club
people.
Owners are deciding.
The audience is people. Sorry. Soylent Green moment there.
All right, well, you're going to get a punishment for that. Sorry.
No! Yeah, I confess!
All right. So, lots more to talk about. Obviously, cancel culture will continue to be an ongoing conversation we have here on the show, because I think it's horse shit. I think it's a lot of whiny comics who feel as though they're entitled to shit on everyone without repercussions, without consequences. So Mark Maron was talking about in his special last week, talking about how this is, they want freedom from consequences or consequence-free speech.
It's the same fucking
speech.
Conversation we had in the 90s about PC.
Yeah. Right.
About whether things, you know,
exactly.
And it's the exact same bullshit. With a slightly different label on it. And that's what bothers me. It's like we're just fucking running in circles.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, we're going to nail our other foot to the floor if we're not careful.
But the point, the ongoing point, is this has been happening since the beginning of human civilization. This has been happening since entertainment was first invented, since comedy was first invented. I always go back to that example. I mentioned it a couple times here on the show, but in case you're brand new to the show, Frederick Douglass in 1849 spoke out against blackface performers. Somehow comedy survived. George Carlin was arrested for saying, what, the F word on stage?
Yep.
Comedy survived. Amazing how that works. Lenny Bruce arrested. Comedy survived. Howard Stern fined millions of dollars by the government, by the way, which was an intrusion of, you know, First Amendment free speech. Comedy survived. Amazing. Louis C.K.
Yeah. He's doing quite well. Thank
you. It admitted to masturbating in front of all those women.
That's just something I never want to picture.
Yeah. Cool. And yet sold out Madison Square Garden. What does that mean? Comedy survived.
Yep.
But Tucker Carlson, the liar that he is, the fraud that he is, the hack fraud
that he is.
Yeah, yeah. He needs his
wizened source of information on comic philosophy, Tucker Carlson.
Yep. He needs his people to believe that all the liberals are coming for the stand-up comics now. Why? Because it generates ratings for him, which then generates revenue for Rupert Murdoch, which then gets Tucker Carlson a bigger deal, better contract next time around.
Dominion.
That's the point, yeah.
Dominion needs to sue each of those personalities as well.
I so agree. Okay, Shadow Docket's coming up next. I have a fact check on the East Palestine train thing. Doesn't change much, but it's just a clarification on the deal with the brakes. BobSeska.com. No, I'm sorry. Patreon.com/BobSeska Show. That's it. See you over there. Bye.